scripture. You know, most of us, well, I think all of us, we eat at least 3 times a day. And we eat more than 1,100 meals a year. That's a lot of meals. We sit a lot, we enjoy food. And when we enjoy food, we also enjoy company most of the time. Seldom we eat alone, sometimes we do, but most of the time we eat with someone and we enjoy. This week I was exchanging with someone who just had a very good time over lunch with a good friend from Lighthouse, and how blessed and refreshed he said that he was. So we always do that. But Jesus often engaged with people over meals. It is amazing if you do a research in the New Testament through the gospel, how many times Jesus is invited to a home or is described as eating with people, feeding people, or teaching, using eating as an illustration for the kingdom of God. So there's so many mentions. So food is important. Even one of the very last picture that we have that brings hope to all of us, the Church of Christ, is that one day we will sit at the wedding banquet and eternity with the Lord. We will be eating and enjoying food and fellowship and the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how it will be, the context of everything, but it is clearly stated in the New Testament. We even read in the gospel that blessed are those that are invited. We even have an example where Jesus is giving us an illustration where he says he's sending his servant to invite people to the wedding feast of his son. So these are topics that are very important coming out from the mouth of Jesus. And he is often using these as a teaching illustration for us to get some deeper truths about that. So Jesus continues today by his Holy Spirit in the scriptures to invite us to come to his table, to get to know him as he is. He wants to reveal himself to us, but it needs to be done like we will do. Like sometimes I know in Lighthouse, if I see a visitor coming on Sunday, many times we will go after the service and says, are you free for lunch? And then we will go out, and then you get to know the person is from, and you accumulate information, you exchange, and you build a relationship. So Jesus is inviting us to do the same. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to understand God's love. In the book of Luke alone, there are at least 10 stories that we are going to look at this morning where Jesus is dining with various people or teaching about it. So let's start this morning with our first story, a story that we are very familiar. I hope you can see well beside me on the screen here. Luke chapter 5, Jesus is making a friend this morning. You know the story. Jesus went to where Levi, a tax collector, was sitting. And Jesus walked by, goes to Levi, and he says, come, follow me, be my disciple. That is what Jesus wants to do. This story has a lot to do with perceptions, how people perceive other people. Jesus perceived Levi in a very different way from society was perceiving Levi. Society was perceiving him as a bad man. He was a tax collector. He was collecting taxes for Rome. Can you imagine that? And a tax collector had the reputation to put something in their pocket as well. So they were being looked at, dishonest, bad people. And then Jesus goes to him and he's saying, be my disciple. That is a very different perceptions. So Jesus, when he was invited by Levi to attend this grace feast that Levi did inviting all of his friends, Jesus was not just responding to an invitation to be polite. He had a plan. He had a purpose. He had been seeking Levi, and he had something in purpose in his mind. Follow me, be my disciples. And he was extending this invitation to Levi's friend as well. And he was using the intimacy of a meal to be with them. And he was being judged by the people for that. Jesus wanted this rejected man to be saved. And there is a lesson in this text that we see that in the ending of that section here. This is not people who are well that needs a doctor. And I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners and need to repent. And this is how Jesus came to us. Think about it. Before you came to Christ, you were an enemy. You were not a friend of God. And yet Jesus came and he did the same thing as he did to Levi. Come and be my disciple, follow me. And Jesus is inviting people today. God did not only want you to be a friend, he wanted you to be part of his family. What a wonderful story. And we need to remind ourselves of the goodness of God toward us. And at the same time, just as Levi opened up his house and invited his friends to hear the message and meet with the master, we can do the same over a meal and extend also. Do you know anyone who should become a friend of Jesus? In our second story today, we will find an uninvited guest in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. Oh, by the way, we want to encourage you that in the coming weeks, since sometimes we may have glitches, it may be difficult to follow the text of the Bible online with us. Sometimes it may work well or not so well. Why don't you start to take back your book, your Bible book, and be ready to follow the scriptures in your home with the Bible? Because most of you are using your phone or your laptop to watch us. So when we refer to a text, why don't you just open your Bible? I know that some of you told me you are already doing that. Have you ever hosted a dinner party, invited a group of friends over for birthday parties or something, and someone unexpected just joined? And it may even be someone unwanted, like somebody that you would have preferred not to have coming over. So this is a bit of the story that we have today. A distinguished dinner of important guests in the house of a leading Pharisee. And they invited Jesus to come over, where topics of the day would be discussed. And then a sinful woman comes in. Depending on the Bible version, you will read a notorious sinner. A sinner, actually the Greek word is amartulos. It's really, the amartulos comes from amarsia, which means missing the part. That's the word that the Greek text use for sin, missing the mark, not following the standard of God. And this woman was an amartulos. She was a notorious sinner. And she was not a guest there. She was not invited. But nevertheless, she crossed the invisible barrier of the invited, of the elite that were invited to this meeting. She shocked everybody in attendance with her actions. We read that she wept. She wet the feet of Jesus with her tears. She wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. She kissed Jesus' feet and she poured out perfumed oil on Jesus' feet. Wow, what's going on? If this man was a prophet, how could he let this sinful woman contaminate him? They were thinking, these people. Self-righteous Simon was annoyed offended, but Jesus welcomed this woman. She had come seeking forgiveness, and Jesus was there. You know, Jesus was engaged in conversation with these people, but she interrupted that evening, and Jesus allowed this woman to interrupt her, to interrupt him. And you know, people are coming to Jesus from all walk of life, and some people come from very dark places. And Jesus is not annoyed when we, when a sinner disturb him. He is going to stop his agenda. There's nothing more important on his agenda than to take care of the spiritual need of the lost person. That is how this story ends. You know, in all of these short stories that we see today, there's a, some sort of a strong lesson that we read. And if you look at the end scriptures here, and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And then they were judging him. Who is this who is given forgiveness, who give forgiveness of sin? And then he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So could an unexpected guest in your life be an opportunity to minister? You know, as we see Jesus, we see his example, and it's kind of a reminder to us to be more attentive to the need of the people and to be quicker to respond and to show a heart of compassion like he does. He saved us. Freely you have received, freely give. In our third story this morning, we have Jesus taking care of physical needs. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that story because 2 weeks ago I taught on one of the occasion when Jesus fed a crowd miraculously. In this account in Luke in chapter 9, verse 10 to 17, Jesus is described as feeding 5,000 people, but it says males. The Greek word really says men, so that is more than that. And these people that come to hear him, they had been listening to him for a long time. He already had poured out his heart to them. He already had given them the most important, the truth of the kingdom of God. But to Jesus, it was not enough yet. He was going to feed their body. He was going to take care of their material needs. Jesus was also doing that, revealing who he was, the Messiah. He was revealing that he had the attributes of God. You know, God set his people free and opening the Red Sea. He fed his people in the wilderness with the manna. Here you have Jesus feeding a crowd of 5,000 men besides women and children, doing the same sorts of miracle. He's declaring, I am God. He's declaring, I can do all things. He's declaring, don't worry about your needs. I will provide. I can do miracles for you, for your family, for your children. I can feed you. I can take care of you. We had a communication this week from Pastor Vivian in Cagayan in the north of the Philippines concerning the ATAS. You know, we had not thought about it, but they are in lockdown. What are they going to do? They were depending on the rise coming and on the help that Lighthouse through Pastor Vivian and the church there were distributing to them. And they cannot do it anymore. So someone advised Pastor Vivian to communicate with the barangay captain because they are receiving help from the government to take care, because it is a lockdown, and continue to take care of the needs of the people who are the most needy. And Jesus is saying in Mark chapter 8, I have compassion on the crowd because they've already been here with me 3 days. And they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. He's showing us this morning how God can provide miraculously. how he cares for our physical needs. And we see the height of a loving and caring God in that story. Amen. So I remember when our children were young and I was studying for a while theology and I was only working part-time, we didn't have much. And many times we just had a knock on the door and then somebody would bring us a bag of food, a bag of clothes. Sometimes when I met people, they would give me a special handshake with the $20 bill in. And all of these, we saw the love of God. And it was so important in our time of need to see this expression of love. And this is shown by Jesus in action in that story. And story number 4, we have another wonderful story, but very different this one. It's about a little family tension. A family tension. The story of Jesus meeting with his friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And no doubt they were good friends. And Jesus enjoyed meeting with them. And Martha was a very good host. She was a hostess with character. She had character. Do you know some women who are good hosts, but they also have character? Maybe you will point at yourself, oh, maybe I am one of them this morning. Good heart, generous, good cook, but with character. And Martha was working hard to prepare food for her master, and she wanted to make him feel invited and taken care of. And at one point, Martha complained about Mary to the master. She says, don't you care that she's leaving me to do all of the things? Mary was doing nothing but listening at the feet of Jesus. And imagine how surprised Martha would have been when Jesus, instead of agreeing with Martha, give her a gentle rebuke, we can say in a way. Martha, Martha, my friend, you are being distracted with so many things. Your sister here, Mary, has chosen the most important things. And I want you to pay attention to what Jesus is saying in verse 42 here. But one thing is necessary. And that is exactly the Greek word used. The one thing that is needful. Mary has chosen the one thing that is needful, the one thing that is necessary. And what a reminder it is for us in our home every day, whether we eat alone, we start the day, the needful thing that you and I need in our relationship with Jesus is to sit at his feet. We may choose to do many things. We may worry about many things. We may be very busy. And some of us, let's admit it, we wake up, switch on Wi-Fi, read some of the news, crowd our mind with all sorts of things in our mind before we go to the most needed things. And shouldn't we receive the gentle rebuke of the Lord? Hey, my friend, shouldn't you put me first today when you start your day? And this is very important. You know, when we are having meals with friends, you may be a very good cook. You may serve a great meal with many dishes, this dish and a great dessert. But you know what the people will treasure the most at the end of the meal? It's the fun times. It's the jokes. It's the meaningful moments and conversations that we have enjoyed around the meal. This is what will stay with them more than the quality of food that was served to them. So let's remember what Jesus is teaching us in that story. The problem was not the work, was not the business. It was that she was so busy that she was going to miss the needful thing, the essential, the necessity is to sit and listen to the master. What a great lesson for each one of us. Another text here that is wonderful. Oh, that's a great lesson as well. It's a lesson about our hearts. It's a lesson about our motives. Jesus was being invited to dine with a Pharisee. Luke chapter 11, verse 37 to 53. And he was being criticized or judged, not really criticized, for not washing his hands, for not performing the washing rituals in the Jewish custom. They were annoyed. The word says they were wondered. They were amazed. They were annoyed at the same time that the master did not perform the washing ritual. Because to them, the washing ritual was a symbol of washing away the contamination, any contamination from touching something impure. So as you can see, they are removing the external as a symbol of perceiving themselves as being pure. You remove the external dirt, so it makes yourself pure. And Jesus, who is always perceptive, saw their error. Their error wasn't about hygiene. Their error was about the heart. You are so careful, Pharisees, to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy. You are full of greed, wickedness, adultery, whatever it is. Fools. Didn't God make the inside as well as the outside? In other words, wash what matters. Wash the heart first. When you meet someone, let's be honest a little bit. When you meet someone, don't we look at the person and through our impression have some come up with some sorts of judgments, prejudice or opinions, sometimes good or not. Like, I don't like his face, I don't like his hair, I don't like this, I don't like that. And sometimes it is more than this. We judge even the morality of someone because he doesn't dress properly, because his hair is long, because he wears a ring, whatever it is. We have all sorts of criteria to judge people. So how can we minister? How can we be free and sharing the truth, the love of Jesus Christ with someone if we have a strong judgment about the person? It's not going to work. We're going to not share it in the right way or not share at all because we're... So in that story, we see that the perception of holiness is often tied to outward appearance. When you hear the word holy, be holy like I'm holy, and then we think outward conduct, outward appearance. And the heart of a godly person does not, should not depend about the clothes, the style, the personal care. So let us not judge what we cannot see in the heart. Instead, we should wash our own heart and accept people as they are. Let God be the judge and just bring them the full message of acceptance. Because when we were yet sinners, ungodly people, Christ died for our sin. This is how he demonstrated the love of God. So how can we be free to share the word of the Lord to someone so that they will be washed outside and inside? Amen. Praise the Lord. Number six, here is a story about hot topics conversation. That is a big chapter, and I invite you to just at the end of this week, go to Luke chapter 14 and examine each section. Actually, that was going to be my sermon today, only Luke chapter 14. So I just moved to the message I'm giving you today about dining with Jesus, but it started in Luke chapter 14. We are now seeing Jesus accepting an invitation, a dinner invitation. You know, in Hong Kong, we say sik fan la. In China, we say chi fan. But in the Hebrew language, we would say eat bread. That is how the Hebrew words are being used in the text in many of these stories. Jesus was invited to eat bread in the house. So we translate it to eating a meal or dining, but he was invited to eat bread in the house of a Pharisee. And he came prepared. That's good because we need also to know that Jesus came prepared. He was going to the house of someone. He came with intentions. He came that he was going to address some hot topics of the day, like working on the Sabbath. He was talking to Pharisees, seeking places of honor in a banquet, or who gets to sit at God's banquet table. And he's going to address these things. But these topics that Jesus is going to address, he's going to do it in a way that he is seeking to touch and to go deeper into the deeper motives of these people, deeper motives of the heart. You know, it starts with Jesus asking a question. You know, Jesus didn't go into a long sermon or doing moral. These people were used to have moral preached to them all the time. That's not what Jesus, it was not his approach. Jesus used question that would lead to deepen their understanding of what really cares, God cares for. And he's asking, is it allowed for people who were so strict about the Sabbath, is it allowed to do good on the Sabbath day? Well, simple question, but it is disturbing for them to have this kind of question. And these hot topics that Jesus brings up expose hypocrisy, expose their selfishness. It exposes their error. And the hot topics and subjects, the touchy subjects, often comes around the table. You know, you sit with your family or you sit with a group of friends and many times, whoops, some topics are pretty touchy and it comes up in the same way. So when Jesus had a point to make on the difficult subject here, he didn't go into a long sermon of morale teaching, but he just engaged them through parables, and he engaged them through questions to make a complex subject understandable and reach to their heart. His words came from a deep desire to bring people into a right relationship with God. Is it allowed to go on the Sabbath? And we look at the next slide, we see some of these texts here. Jesus notices that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor. Then he turned to his host, and then he gave them an example. When you invite people to your home, don't invite the rich, your friends, your family. They will pay you back, and this is the only reward that you will have. Then invite people who have needs and things like this. So it goes deeper than just a simple conversation. And then the next, like Jesus replied with this story, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And then the conclusion of this long text, they all excuse themselves. Oh, I'm busy for this, I'm busy for that, and I have to work, I have to buy, I have to get marry someone in my family. And for none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. These are hot topics and difficult subject, and Jesus discussed them over dinner. And that is wonderful to see his wisdom. Amen. Then we go to the next sections. Jesus inviting himself. That's a wonderful story, Zacchaeus. We know that story so much from Sunday school time until now. Zacchaeus was curious, and he was only expecting to observe from afar. And as a chief tax collector, he must have been very surprised when Jesus noticed him. But imagine how excited he would have been when Jesus wanted to have a meal with him. Zacchaeus, quickly, come down. I must have a meal with you in your home. Wow. Zacchaeus was a sinner. And actually, he had not planned to reach out to Jesus. He didn't know yet that he needed salvation until the presence of the Holy Savior reached and had a deep effect until his heart. So that's why we need to meet with Jesus. We need to know Jesus as a person, not as a religion. And he didn't expect as a result to be accepted in the community. Funny to realize that the name Zacchaeus means pure or innocent. And to Jesus, Zacchaeus was going to become pure and innocent and could be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came to make us white as snow. And again, this text finished with a wonderful application. Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, which means that he has the faith of Abraham. He expressed his belief in Jesus Christ. And we know it by the text when we go deeper and read the whole story. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Wow, we are reminded this morning, it's repeated to us over and over, all the efforts, all the time that Jesus met with people of his intention lead to salvation. Is there something more important than that? As we are facing this global crisis and we read about people every day, people who will go into eternity, shouldn't more people hear? Shouldn't more people be sought after and experience salvation, those who are lost? And who's going to do that? It is us. So use every means possible. Conversation, phone calls, online, social media, do what you can, pray so that more people will get to know God as he is. Amen? Hallelujah. And then another one that is wonderful. We're coming to the end of the life of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the one hosting the dinner. And this is a few hours before Jesus is going to depart. He's going to enter into his agony, a time of suffering. He's going to be judged unfairly. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be spat on. We are going to pull his beard. We're going to whip him. We're going to nail him on the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. Praise the Lord for that part. And Jesus knew what he was going to face. He was in agony already. He was emotionally feeling very strong emotions at the time. And he kept this last meal to be the most intimate and important moment, to be close to his disciple. And I mean, sometimes we think of communion as, you know, we are so familiar with the gesture of communion every month. We forget that aspect. Jesus, and the night that Jesus instituted communion, it was out of a deep desire. I was eager to share this meal with you. I was eager, this eagerness. He knew what was coming. The disciples didn't know that. So let's remember that next time. On Good Friday, we're going to share communion together. Be ready, participate, and realize that we are going to be part of this emotional desire that the Lord is expressing in these last moments. Yeah. And this meal that Jesus was hosting, this dinner, was not for himself. You see in this text when Jesus shared the bread and shares the cup and says, this is my body, which is for you. And the same thing, this cup is poured out for you. It is for you. He was thinking of his disciple who didn't know yet what was going to happen. And Jesus, instead of describing all the details of his suffering at this moment, just give them something to focus on. Remember that night. just remember what we are doing now. And each time in the future, you will be sharing this sort of meal together and remember me, you will know what I mean. You will know about my suffering. You will know about my love. So he did not give them sordid details of his suffering, but something to remember. Let's remember Jesus as we take communion, as we read the scriptures, the love of Jesus. Amen. As we move on, almost finish, dinner that opened their eyes. This is now after the resurrection. Jesus appeared to two of his disciples on the road to Damascus, and these Emmaus, and they are discouraged, they are depressed. They had been expecting being disciples of Jesus, but Jesus had been crucified and he has been buried. And Jesus came up to them, walked along with them, and we read in this wonderful story how Jesus explained from the scriptures the things concerning himself. And at one point they were to reach their destination. They were later in the day, night was coming. They were so eager, they were so thirsty for the word of Jesus. Their heart was feeling something when this man was sharing scriptures about the Messiah. And they wanted more, so they invited Jesus, they begged him, stay with us for dinner, we want to hear you more. And then Jesus accepted their invitation, and when Jesus broke bread and shared it, they recognized, because at that time we read in this text that God had kept the identity of Jesus hidden to them. But at the moment when Jesus broke bread with them, their eyes were open. They were dining with the risen Savior. Oh, wow, we need more of that revelation. When you are meeting with the Lord in your home, anywhere, as we have seen, we are the church everywhere. Jesus is with us. We are walking with the risen Lord. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ, the risen, the living Christ, who lives in me. We are in community with Christ. Wonderful realization. We have to realize more that we're having dinner or communion with the risen Lord in our times of devotion with him. Last story, and we are going to conclude with that today. After the two disciples from Emmaus returned to Jerusalem, because they could not contain themselves, they had to go and tell the rest of the group at Jerusalem. And then just after that, Jesus himself appeared to the rest of the disciples. And shockingly, they were all scared. They thought they were seeing a ghost, but Jesus reassured them with a simple gesture. He sat down and ate with them. Wow, what a simple gesture. Hey, come on, you guys, don't be afraid. Let's sit and let's eat something. Give me some food. And then we read in verse 45 that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Lord, open our minds that we will receive the scriptures. Lord, open our minds that we may realize that you are the risen Lord, that you are with us every day. Lord, make it today as we are gathered together in your word, be the risen Lord to us right now at this moment, through Lighthouse, to your church in Hong Kong, to your church worldwide. Oh God, open our eyes today. Open our eyes today. Hallelujah. Oh, may we use at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ meals to bring the hope of a Savior, to make our Savior known, to help them to understand that we're not following a dead religion. We are walking in our day. We are being blessed by walking with a risen Lord, a God who cares for us, a God who can do miracles. Hallelujah. Is there someone in your life that you can comfort and you can uplift through a meal? You know, meals have the power to resurrect someone who is dead tired after a day. Meals have this potential to refresh the soul of someone, to console, to comfort, to bring hope. Meals is a great place, and Jesus used it so well, and he is giving us this example. Lord, today, as we conclude, Jesus is still inviting us to come and dine with him. What can we learn from dining with Jesus today? How can it impact our lives? All of these stories, what Jesus has done, what he's been talking about, how many times he's using food illustration, he's partaking into dining with other people. He is calling us. One day Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman, and the disciple came back from town with some food. Jesus had not even eaten because he was doing something more important. And the disciple were surprised that Jesus was talking to her. Jesus, he said, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Oh, that we may realize more about the importance of our testimony, of us being a disciple, just like Jesus invited Levi, come, follow me, be my disciple, do like I do, follow my example, treat people like I treat them, wash your own heart, teach other people to know me, and love people like I do. Father God, thank you for this time together today. Oh God, make us aware of your presence today. Make us rejoice that we have this opportunity, though separated in body, we are one in spirit today. And what brings us to being one today is your Holy Spirit and your word. Oh God, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we may know you. Open our eyes that we may realize that you are the risen Lord. Open our eyes that we may understand the scriptures and realize the blessing that we have to have you in our life. Lord, bless your church, Lighthouse. Bless the families. Bless the children. Protect us. Be our God. Be our rock, our fortress. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us declare amen in our home this morning. Have a great week. Keep checking the updates on Facebook, YouTube, website. We are there with you. We are going to pray. Write to us. Send us comments on Facebook, on WhatsApp. We want to stay connected. God bless you. God bless you.